plate a potential nugget.
Moving to a different player, I really loved one of the examples you give in the book. You talk about Gautam Gambhir, and you speak about him hitting the ball square at the wicket, and he was striving to hit straighter towards mid-off, and you were trying to talk about how to bring that change. And what I really liked was you let Gautam develop his own narrative to get to the right outcome. And you talk about a couple of instances where experts, quote-unquote experts, tell him what to do, and that doesn't work. But when you let him figure it out, he somehow pieces it together. So could you sort of draw out the insight here for the purpose of the listeners?
I think the summary that you gave there really is the crux of it, is, you know, yesterday's model of leadership and coaching was telling people what, an expert telling people what to do. And we know that's far less effective than when we have a process of helping an individual go inward and come to their own learning, their own understanding, and come up with their own narrative of what is going on for them, and also finding their own way to solve, if it's a problem they need to solve, but finding that problem, that solution for themselves. So that's a lot more, it's a lot more empowering. And that's really what happened with Gambhir, with the problem is you had three experts telling him how to solve this problem of hitting the ball square of the wicket when he was wanting to hit it straighter. And none of those worked. And then he turned to me for the answer, you know, expecting me then to give a fourth pearl of wisdom. And the three people that already offered wisdom were, had far superior batting knowledge than what I had. So it was almost bizarre that Gautam should be asking me. But then I turned back to a very, you know, the essence of what coaching and business coaching is, was I asked him to come up with his understanding of what he felt was going on. And initially he said he didn't know what the problem was. And each time he would get it right, he would say to me, what did I do? And I'd say to him, well, I'm noticing something different, but I don't know what it is exactly that I'm noticing, but it is different. And I kept asking him, so what is it that you're noticing? And he didn't know. And then he would get it wrong. He'd say, okay, so I did something different there. What was it? And instead of telling him what I saw, I kept probing and asking him, so what did you feel? What was your experience? Because there is something different. The outcome is different. So there must be a different set of inputs or processes. And I just kept probing and kept probing him. And the tempting thing is to quickly jump in as a coach with a solution. One, I get to be seen to know what I'm talking about. And we quickly, we fast track that period of discomfort that Gautam was in, because now he's all of a sudden got his answer. But I left him in the discomfort of searching for the answer. Keep searching, keep searching. It will come if you listen closely enough and you pay enough attention to what's going on for you in this moment. And he did come to the understanding of what was, had actually changed. And his narrative was actually, you know, as I share in the book, the way he changed his technique, it had nothing, he would just glance down at his feet twice, and that would help him hit the ball straight. Now, there is no technical batting technical connection between looking twice at your feet and hitting the ball square of the wicket versus straight to the wicket. But that was his narrative that he had come up with that helped his body knowledge or his body intelligence connect in with what works and what doesn't. And as it turned out, you know, that certainly did help him improve his batting technique. But the important thing was it was his story that he had come up with. And his story, it doesn't matter whether his story was right or wrong, but his story connected with the inner wisdom of his body. And that's certainly in a lot of sports, the sport like batting, like bowling, there is so many muscles and nerves and neurons that need to fire in exactly the perfect sequence for everything to work right. And it's actually not possible to go in and break that down into its component parts and come up with an explanation, even though the world of science that we go through and coaching suggests that you can break a bowling or batting action down into its component parts. It's actually not possible. The individual needs to actually, it's something that happens at a much more complex and internal knowledge and system that needs to happen. And I guess I'd helped Gautam to plug into and understand and give language to what worked and what didn't work for himself.
In a way, this piece possibly captures the essence between mentoring and coaching. Mentoring is often about telling the mentee, look at me, I've done this about 1,000 times before, and here's how I would break it down, and here's how you do it. Coaching is about you telling the coachee, you know yourself better than I do. Let me ask you questions and help you get the answers yourself. Given the number of moving parts in business, even the CEOs of today often find themselves in situations where their subordinates often know more than them. The approach of let me tell you how it's done doesn't really cut ice when you're leading a group of people as smart or possibly smarter than you and who know more than the domain than you do. In a way, this collaborative style of leadership is a prerequisite for CEOs to be relevant with the teams they lead and the organizations they run. Thank you for listening. For more podcast content, please visit playtopotential.com. The website also has content organized by specific themes in the curated playlist section. And to know more about the leadership and transition advisory work I do, please visit the About section at playtopotential.com or transitioninsight.com. Thank you.